Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Here at my table today, I have my two daughters, Hillary.
Hello.
And Madison.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking about rejoice. My oldest grandson, Mickey, just turned 4. Maddie's beautiful son. And a few months ago, we were singing little Bible songs together. And one of them we were singing was, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Then a day or two later, we were singing, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice. And he had a very powerful question. Lolly, yes, Mickey, what does rejoice mean? I'm like, oh, that might help. We're singing about it. Maybe I should inform you about it. So as a retired educator, I went into word study. Let's isolate the root word from the prefix. So I thought, I've also got to get it to the level of a 4-year-old. So I thought, well, you know what makes you happy? He's like, oh, yes, Lolly. I said, give me an example. What makes you happy? He says, my army toys. He's really into army things. And I said, well, joy is the ability to still be glad when you don't have any army toys. And he said, wow. So then he wouldn't let me move on because he then said, but what does re mean? And I said, re means to do again and again and again and again. And tears almost came to my eyes because I realized in that Mickey moment that the Holy Spirit was reminding me, are you gladdened by your God? Is your joy in abundance? Are you overwhelmed by your Lord again and again and again? So today at our table talk, let's look at Psalm 16, the whole chapter, and let's see what the Spirit is revealing to us about our ability to receive and rejoice in our Lord. Let me open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to us today. We are so grateful and thankful for who you are, our maker, our center, our joy. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to make a way for us to be with you in eternity. And thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to be our igniter, to make your truths our own, and for us in hope and resilience upon you to walk it out. In your son Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hillary, will you read Psalm 16, 1-6? And then Madison, will you come right behind her, please, and read 7-11?
Sure. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. my flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Amen. Let's isolate and look at the word rejoices. In this scripture, if you look at the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition, rejoice may be feeling delight, possessing content, but the world can offer that for us. Let's pop off some things right off the top of our head that can make us content. Go.
Food,
yeah.
Finances.
Yes. A plant. Let's do another round of them.
Clothes.
Beach trips.
People. You know, people. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the scripture contextual. Let's go to Strong's Concordance. It's GIL. G-I-L. And it really, in this verse, means with my tongue. Therefore, my heart is glad. Verse 9 of Psalm 16. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. Our tongues can rejoice, cry, exultation, glad. Our whole nature rejoices, soul, heart, mind, body. We can tremble. We can be overwhelmed, almost spun around with emotion. And if you think about it, it is a privilege above all other living creatures that we have the ability to rejoice with our cry, with our tongue. So the question I'm posing for us today at the table is, what part does worship play in our own rejoicing? Let's look at some verses. We talked about that it is a privilege of us to have now. But in scripture, it tells us how the earth is going to rejoice in him before he comes to judge the earth. So let's look at Psalms 96, 11 through 13. It says, the trees of the forest are going to sing for joy. Can you all imagine that? It says, Psalms 98, 4 through 9, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The sea will roar. The rivers will clap their hands. The hills will sing for joy. 1 Chronicles 16, 33, the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Isaiah 55, 12 through 13, the mountains and the hills will break forth in singing. The trees will clap their hands. So in our now, despite our circumstances and situations, our human praise is honoring to God. And Matthew Henry writes in his commentary, those who give glory to God's name are allowed to glory in it. So my question for us to talk at the table is, what part then does our tongue play in our own ability to have joy?
I think that our tongue is, yeah, so integral to like our whole entire being. I think about, you know, later in scripture where it talks about taming the tongue, mm-hmm. or being careful with what you say and using your words. And so thinking about how important it is to use our tongues in order to even inform our own thoughts, feelings, emotion. It can lead to an entire, like a whole body experience. I think about, yeah, when I am singing worship songs, even if I don't come into it feeling, you know, the happy or the joy or the glad, or like, I don't want to be here today. But when I start to sing, it starts to change even my whole entire experience. Usually it can start that. And so I think it's so important to sing even when we aren't excited about it. I think even about these Psalms, you know, these Psalms themselves were sung they are songs. And so when we even read these, I mean, at the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 16, he's starting with preserve me, but he's singing it to God, crying out to him with his tongue, and it's leading him to then worship and recounts the truths that he knows, and it's all done in singing and using your tongue.
That's good. Going off of that, I think the part that worship plays, like you were talking about, it's like a whole body experience. I was looking up this verse, and another translation of tongue is glory. So your glory rejoices, which sounds very godly, but they're using it as their whole body. So when they're talking about their glory, like their reputation or their whole being, so when your whole being rejoices or when your tongue rejoices, it's all of you. You can't just, you know, your brain cannot exist differently than your tongue. So whether you're saying bad things or you're saying good things, your mind is focused on what you're saying, and your body kind of goes in that direction too. So I agree that when I worship, it is to put myself in that place, whether I have something has happened and I am excited to worship and I know that's what I should be doing. My heart is in it. I worship to give thanks, to praise him, to feel that in my whole body, or whether I am coming more like David and I'm stressed or I'm in danger, I'm feeling fear, and I need to get to that place to bow down in front of him and be in his presence and to feel that again, I can worship and sing and get to that spot where instead of worrying about everything that's around me, I am now singing praises and thanks and cries for help in that worship and feel that throughout my whole body.
Absolutely. And David wrote the collection of lyrical poems, psalms, and it was actually used like an ancient hymnal. And God's people were using their tongues and their cries and their songs, and it brings forth emotion to us just when we read the Psalms. And it can evoke a full range of human emotions as we read through it. And it points the readers always to praise God for who he is and what he has done. And it illuminates the greatness of our God, and affirms to us his faithfulness in all types of trouble. So no matter your circumstances, your heart and your tongue still needs to worship him. A few other verses that I want us to point to today is Psalms 119. If we go there, it speaks also to how we can use our tongue. I will praise you. This is verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. So one of the things there that we have to remember is to use our tongues in a rejoicing way, we first have to know his words and his truths and his rules. In fact, Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. There are 176 verses, and it is a total celebration of God's word. It's like awe. And God's word is referred to in every verse that we can somehow look down through each verse of that scripture. And it either says law, testimonies, walk in his way, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules. It's telling us that, look at verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So to me, like you were saying, both of you, I can walk into a church service and no matter where I am in my now, the worship alone pulls me into a place of God is here. The spirit that dwells in each believer in this room is here. He promises that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am here. And our participation in that worship can remind us and center us that our God is good. Things don't have to be good, but our God is. Another question I have for us is, how do we find that confident assurance? How may we experience confident assurance? And if you look back at the verse 9 in Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. Confident assurance. Merriam-Webster dictionary, secure, free from danger. No doubt, we are safe. We are confident. Let's pop off some things that come to mind when we think about being secure. What helps us be secure?
Money.
Security systems in our house, Ring doorbells.
And I'm going to go back to people. You know, when I'm around and with people, I have a security that I might not have if I'm alone. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the spiritual definition of secure in this verse. If you look at Strong's Concordance, it's bituk. It means a confidence, a safety, an unsuspecting security, an assurance, a quietness, quietness, and a place of refuge that we can boldly enter into. And it speaks about the whole person, that we are secure in our heart, we are secure in our soul, we are secure in our mind, which is our flesh. So how do we obtain and remain in that kind of confident assurance despite our situation?
When I'm reading in the Bible and I come across questions, I look at the words that can key in to help me answer this question. So when I see verse 9, the first word I see is therefore, which when you're talking to someone, there has to be something that comes before for there to be a therefore, right? So when it starts with therefore, I know, go back to the verse 8 or the verses ahead of it to know kind of what he's talking about. So in verse 9, it says, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure. So then I see that therefore combines it with all the verses that he's talking about before. But specifically in verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be shaken. And there's verses before that that also can play into this. But when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness, that's the answer, right? I keep my eyes on God and I know that he's beside me and I will not be shaken. And just like you said, when I looked up that I will not be shaken, it points back to Psalms 10:6 and some other verses. But it says, no one can take away my well-being, my heart, my mind, my soul, and destroy my security. We know that that's in God. And just like David's saying, he is in literal danger, in anguish. My life is not on the line like David's was when he wrote this. He knows that he could go at any moment, and he still trusts in the Lord in that moment. But also, this points to Christ and all eternity. He has that hope.
Yeah, that's really good, Maddie. I like that. Yeah, similar to you, when I'm reading the word, I really, really like to try to figure out the context and kind of put myself in the place of the author or the recipient, the whoever's receiving the word, whoever it's written to. And so I was looking back of, man, yeah, when do we think maybe David wrote this, or what's going on? Or and there's some different thoughts about it. But one thought is that he is writing this after receiving some words from Nathan, the prophet, and that Nathan is telling him in 2 Samuel 7:12-13, he's pretty much saying, like, look, you're going to die, because everyone's going to die, but you're going to die, but God's going to raise you up an offspring who's going to establish his kingdom, and he's going to build for himself a house for your name, and that's going to be established forever. And so, like, okay, David has that in his mind, and he has this promise from God. Okay, I know I'm going to die, but there is a promised one whose kingdom will reign forever and ever. And then I think I really liked going then forward into the New Testament. And we see in Acts 2, right after the Holy Spirit, comes, and this is Peter's first sermon that he's giving. He actually uses this psalm and talks about the fact that it's Jesus who's talked about in this Psalm 16, that he was the Holy One that was not abandoned. He was the one who David was really talking about, even though maybe David didn't know exactly about Jesus. But, and so when I think, okay, I've got those two things. I've got this promise to David that he's holding on to. I've got Peter in the future saying, this is the one who was resurrected from the dead. And so then I come back to David in Psalm 16, and I am asking this question, okay, yeah, how can I live with confident assurance? Mm-hmm. It's because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just like you're saying, Maddie, because he's the one that I always put before me. He's the one. I even think about, reading this, it'd be really easy to say, okay, the promise is my flesh is going to be safe always. But then I think about my Savior. Was his flesh safe in the way we think about it in a worldly sense? No way. Jesus's flesh was not safe in that way. But because of what Jesus did, we have a secure, eternal safety in him that I can always be assured of, even when we have trouble in this world, even when my physical flesh is not secure and safe. It's really my entire being, my soul, that is confidently assured of eternity.
Absolutely. And if we can just remain with that perspective in mind, that the fullness of joy that we have while we are here will continue in a fullness beyond our imagination for eternity.
Yeah.
So we're going to remind ourselves, which is why it's important to have conversations in community with other Christian women. We're going to remind ourselves to keep our eyes on God, to read his word, and be reminded that our situation and our present circumstances should not determine our security, our assurances, or our ability to rejoice in him. I want to thank you, Hillary and Madison, for being at my table today. I love you each. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.